message. Well, some of this message you've heard before. All right? It's called danger, freedom, the most dangerous gift. God made all things free to choose either to serve or not to serve Him. You have freedom. You have volition. You have will. Another one. All right? Now, if you go back to Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, we know that Satan had a path. If you can chase it all the way down this long blue line there, where Satan back in the eternity past, God created him, and for a while he served God, didn't he? For a while, Satan served God. He was a perfect creation. It said in beauty he was perfection. All right? In mental capabilities, he was perfection. He was given a very high place. He is called a cherub. There are cherubs over the Ark of the Covenant, aren't there? All right? He's a cherub. That's a very high order of angels. And he's also called an archangel. Basically, we believe that there are three archangels, Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. All right? Well, Lucifer was one of them, and God made him CEO, or master administrator over all the material creation of God, and no one had any power over him except Jehovah himself. He answered only to Jehovah. You know, when Michael went and confronted him, he said, "The Lord rebuke you." He said, "He dare not rebuke him." God gave him a very high place of service. All right? Ezekiel 28, 11 through 18, Isaiah 14, 12 through 17, these are the verses that go along with that. Okay? Now, after Satan rebelled against God, God created man. It says in the book of Genesis, and 1:26, and Genesis 5:1-2, it says God created man in his mental, physical, and spiritual image. And from the time that he was created, that he would never go out of existence. He would not go into annihilation, but he would be eternal from that very point of time on. Okay? Now we know in Genesis, the third chapter, we have a great big story with the Satan, don't we? Lucifer goes into the snake and deals with Eve, and she sins, and we end up with this problem here. The worst part of that is that Adam sinned willfully without being deceived, and we have the death sentence passed upon all of us because of what Adam did. All right. Galatians 4, 4, and 5. Well, we do have hope. Galatians 4, 4, and 5 says, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that He might redeem them which are under a curse, under the law." Okay? Now, the book of Job. Turn to the book of Job. That's spelled Job. Okay? J-O-B. It's the book of Job. Okay? Turn to the book of Job. And let's look at that. Now Satan, once he sinned against God, with all of the perfectness of Satan, he still had volition. But once he sinned against God, he started a spiritual war that still was carried on till today. There's a spiritual war going on today. On earth, and actually in the unseen world also. Okay? But the book of Job represents the whole of the human race. All of Adam's descendants, okay? Now, God created something very closely related to Himself that was going to be an ultimately the object of His love. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life." The book of Job is written to let us know that Satan is behind every evil act upon this earth and in the heavenly places also. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12 says, "We wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers in high places. Powerful beings, Those are angelic orders that it's named in the Greek language there. Terrible, powerful beings. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, sometimes Satan, you can go books, the book of Daniel, go to the book of Ezekiel, go to the book of Revelation, and we find out that certain individuals are empowered by Satan. It said in Genesis or Ephesians 2:2, it says, "Ye once walked according to the course, the power of the air." If Satan energizes certain people to bring about his revolution, his civil war against God. Okay?
Certain peoples as in humans, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
He empowers certain humans. Why? Let's go back in history just for a moment. Hitler. All that Hitler did was put into order what Martin Luther, said to do. Kill all the Jews and put them in concentration camps. Do away with them. They killed Messiah, let's kill them all. And so he blamed all the problems that the Jews had had since World War I. And he blamed it on the Jews, and he put them in concentration camps just like Luther said to do. And you know what? God used that to make them seek a homeland. Didn't he? So everything God allows is His permissive will. God allows a certain thing. Now, God allowed, it was His permissive will, so we can look at the book of Job, and we can see how that Satan is behind every evil act, physically and spiritually. All right? The hypocrite Satan wanted to test Job and to try to prove to God that man, the object of God's love, would fail him. Now, Job had it good. Let's look at the book of Job. Job 1:1-12. All right? Job 1:1-12. There was a man in the land of Uz, his name was Job. That man was what? Blameless and upright and fearing God and turning away from all sorts of evil. And he had 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. And in his possession he had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants, and that man was the greatest of all men in the East. He was richer than everybody. Alright? That's what kind of person he was now. And his sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one of on his day, and they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them, probably on their birthdays or something. Okay? And it came about when the days of feasting had completed their cycle that Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning to offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. And Job said, "Perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." And Job did this continually. He loved his children. All right? And there was a day when the sons of God came and presented themselves before the Lord. The sons of God, B'nai Ha'elohim there, is talking about angels. All right? And the Lord said to Satan, now Satan's original name was Lucifer, like Herod, but now he's become the one Satan, the one who opposes. And the Lord said to Satan, Jehovah said to Satan, "From where do you come?" And Satan said to the Lord, "From roaming about on the earth, walking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour," as the 1 Peter 5:8 says. And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered? Have you set on your mind my servant Jehovah? For there is none like him all earth, blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away." Remember, Lucifer, he was like you when I created you. He was like you, perfect, when I created you. Then Satan answered the Lord, says, Job, "Fear God for nothing. Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side, and has blessed his work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land? Put forth your hand and touch what he has, and he will curse you to your face." Okay? Now the book of Job is written to show us that bad things happen to good people. And rain rains on the just, and it rains on the unjust. And the sun shines on the just, and it shines on the unjust. Okay? Why are we trying to test today? How come you get sick? How come you have all kinds of trials? Why is your life such a mess sometimes when you're trying to serve the Lord? Well, the book of Job. Job got to go through these trials so he could get lessons from it.
Right.
All right? Didn't Ryan run the rap? All right. Romans 5, 1 through 4. Let's go there real quick. Romans 5, 1 through 4. Romans 5, 1 through 4. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also obtain our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. We exalt hope in the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our what?
Sufferings
and tribulations. Knowing that tribulation brings about what? Staying power. Perseverance. Staying power. And perseverance brings proven character and character of hope. James 1, 2 through 4 tells us that tribulation builds staying power. It builds you up. Makes you strong. Makes you strong. Now, tribulation trials is a hard doctrine to swallow in the Bible, isn't it? Tribulation trials is a hard doctrine to swallow. It's bitter medicine. But it is medicine. And that's why we have the book of Job. Satan now is going to destroy all of Job's financial and material world. His portfolio is X'd out. Okay? He's going to completely financially destroy him. We have a little bit of that today, don't we? In our world. Of course, we're responsible for most of it, I believe. In Job 1, 13-17, let's look at that one. Now it happened about in that day that his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house, and a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were feeding beside them. The Sabaeans came and attacked, and they also slew the servants of the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Number 16, while I was still speaking, another came and said, the fire of God from heaven. Now I tell you what, this fire of God did come down from God. The storms and all the terrible things that happen in this world doesn't come from God. Who wanted to hurt Job? Wasn't God. Satan. Fire from God from heaven burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone escaped to tell you. Now they thought it was lightning. But the bad storms and tornadoes and all this, we have an author of that. Number 17, while I was still speaking, yet another came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took down and slew the servants at the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While I was still speaking, another came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating, drinking wine in the oldest brother's house, and a great wind from across the wilderness struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died, and I alone have escaped to tell you. What was Job's response?
Twenty through twenty-two.
That was his response, Brother David. You have to look over
that. Yeah.
20 through 22.
Yeah.
What did he say there in
20
through
22? And Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
All right.
And all this Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong.
A saved person, even when he goes through terrible trials, where is his answer? Not God doing that to him. It's the old world. When you are struck by disease in the flesh, it's not disease that comes from God. It comes from Satan. All right. Satan is fighting mad now. And he wants to attack Job even further. In Job 2, 1 through 7. Now there was a day when the Benaha Elohim, the sons of God, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also presenting himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan says, from rolling about on the earth and walking around it. It's like 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 3, and the Lord said to Satan, have you considered, have you still got my servant Job on your mind? For there is none like him on the earth, a blameless, upright man, fearing God, turning away from evil. And he still holds fast to his integrity. All you have incited against him to ruin him without cause. And Satan answered and said to the Lord, skin for skin. Yes, all the man has he will give for his life. You know, when you got a lot of riches, if you get sick and it's terminal, that means related to the end, you'll give all of it to save your life, won't you? You'll give it all. However, put forth your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. So the Lord said, behold, what? He is in your power. Only do not kill him. I have the power of life and death. You can touch his life with your sicknesses and your diseases, but do not kill him. Now, when Job gets sick, two eight through ten. I put down the wrong chapter of my stuff here. In the second chapter, verses 8 to 10, he took a potsherd. He had boils. He has miserable boils. The boils, by the way, are probably staph infection. All right. He's got a staph infection now. From the sole of his feet to the crown of his head, he's got a staph infection. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself while he was sitting among the ashes. And his wife said to him, you know, this is one thing. God killed all of his family, all of his children, everything he loved so much, but he left that woman. Now, Job, in his house, has one of Satan's advocates. In his house. That's who he is. His wife. Bill should have been here today, huh? Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Well, wonderful. This is his whole soulmate now. Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak of one of the foolish women. Shall we indeed accept God, good from God, and not accept adversary? And all this Job did not sin against his lips. Now, what kind of friends do you think he had? Let's go look at his friends. We're going to cover the whole book of Job today. All right? He's got good friends. We're going to find out what their names are.
Okay.
Gentlemen. These gentlemen. What is a gentleman? A man that's gentle. These gentlemen are gentle. One of them's name doesn't even mean gentle. Job's friend persecuted him on top of all his tribulation. It would have been better if the house fell on his wife too. But she hung around just persecuted.
They're like that,
yeah. Huh? Them women,
they're like that.
Yeah. Boy, some of them are all right. Some of them are really okay. He doesn't have a friend left in this world. Eliphaz. Let's look at Eliphaz now. Eliphaz 4:1-6:30. You know what Eliphaz's name is? Just think about his name for a minute. Eliphaz means God is dispenser. God is dispenser of all the evil. When you're evil, God's going to give you evil. He's going to work you over. Eliphaz says, the innocent do not suffer. Job 4:1-6:30. God is just. He said, Job, you are a bad man. Bildad. Now, let's look at old Bildad for a moment. Bildad. Lord Adon, our son of contention. That's what his name is. Son of contention. Son of contention. In other words, he's an argumentative rascal, isn't he? This is his friend. And he said, God, in Job 8:1-22, he said, God rewards good with good. You're a bad man, Job. Zophar. What do you think old Zophar means? Hairy and rough. I told you there was one of them named Ruff. Harry and Ruff. Remember when we saw he was Harry and Ruff, wasn't he? Yeah,
he's red.
All right. Yeah, he's red also. This guy's just Harry and Ruff. He's not red. Okay. Harry and Ruff. Hebrew groups Job in 11, 1 through 20. And in Job 18, 1 through out, Bildad, the son of contention, speaks of the rewards of the wicked. He says, Job, you're getting what you deserve. You got the rewards of the wicked. These are Job's friends. You like these kind of guys, brother? So far, Harry and Ruff says, the triumph of the wicked is short. You had a short life. Triumph, Job, you're a wicked man. Job 21 through 29. Eliphaz. God is the dispenser again. He accuses and humiliates Job. Job 22, 1 through 30. Bildad, son of contention against, says, God is fighting you, Job. You have done wrong. And Job 25 and 16, Elihu. Elihu. What does Elihu mean? Huh? God himself. That's what that guy's name is. God himself. Elihu. So God himself says, and he taunts him and rebukes Job and tells him, you are bad. God only, he takes care of his. God is dispensing, he is dispensing, God himself is dispensing all of this terrible disease and calamity upon you because you are a bad man, Job. Now, God completely humiliates Satan in his attempt to destroy God's friend Job. Now, how did he do that? God is pitting Satan, Lucifer, as he was against Job, a fragile man. We are fragile. We die. We are what we call normal. Spirits, angels are paranormal. They're supernatural. Man is natural, okay? Job lost everything that he had, his wife, his children, friends. Even when Lucifer sinned, guess what? Did Lucifer lose all of his friends when he sinned? When God cast him out of heaven, did Lucifer lose all of his friends? All of those evil angels and fallen spirits went with him. And they comforted each other. And they still seek and make schemes against God today. So is mankind, is God raising mankind above Lucifer? He's comparing him. God allowed Lucifer, Satan, to hurt Job, but he did it to humiliate Lucifer. He said, Job didn't have a friend left in this world. Even after you sinned, Lucifer, you had your compadres. Job had no compadres. Even his bosom mate, his wife, turned against him, and still he loved me. Still he loved me. God vindicates Job. God condemns Job's friends, and he corrects them in 42:7-9. Then God tells them that Job will pray for them. I'll have Job pray for you. You go to Job, and you have Job pray for you. Job's my man. Job is my man. Let's look at that. Job 42:10-16. All right. Job 42:10-16. Let's go back up a little bit. Verse number 7, okay? Verse number 7. 7-9. And it came about after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, now God is going to correct Job's friends, okay? God's going to correct Job's friends. My wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends, because you have spoken of me what is right as my servant Job hath. You have spoken not of me what is right, as my servant Job hath. Now therefore take for yourself 7 bulls and 7 rams. He said, you have sinned. Instead of comforting my servant, you have condemned my servant. And offer up, you're not going to do that over at Prayer Fact, are you, Reverend? My servant Job would offer up burnt offering for yourself, and my servant Job would pray for you. For I will accept him so that I may not do with you according to your folly. I will not deal with you according to your folly. Because you have not spoken to me as what is right, and my servant Job has. So Eliphaz, the Temanite, and Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Naamathite, went and did as the Lord told them, and the Lord accepted Job. All right? The Lord lifted up Job's face, is what he meant. The Job, God made Job smile. Sometimes when you see your enemies get their just deserves, do you make you smile? That's what it meant in the original language. He said, now Job smiles. Oh, you rascals sitting there when I was sitting there right at the point of death and suffering all this, and you were making things worse for me. Number 10 now. Let's look at that. Number 10. Number 10. Who's that number 10? Brother Norm, are you over there?
How far do you want me to go?
Well, just 10.
After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before.
All right. Now he has two times more than he ever had. Number 11, Brother David.
And all his brothers and all his sisters and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought on him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold.
All right. Now, they had kept thinking that God did this to him. Who did it? The devil did it. It wasn't God. Number 12, Brother John.
Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys.
All right. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Remember when we watched this movie this morning a little bit, a little piece of that where they had all that? That was like Job. Job traveled like they traveled in that movie Grass. He traveled the same way, following the grass. There were thousands of them. I mean, he had an army. This man had a tremendous... He had a nation. Job had a nation. A small nation. Number 13 now. Who wants to read that? Anna, you want to read that?
He also gave Job 7 more sons and 3 more daughters.
7 more sons and 3 more daughters. All right. 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. All right.
Is that punishment to his wife?
Well, I mean, he may have gotten rid of her and replaced her, all right, with better material. Sister Andino, number 14.
And he called the name of the friend Jemima.
Jemima, you know, like Aunt Jemima.
And the name of the second, Isaiah, and the name of the third, Karen Hapuk.
Okay, now let's look at these names. Jemima, all right, that means dove or a clear day. And the name Juanita comes from that, or John, okay? That's what comes from that word. And then Keziah, or Cassie, that's the word Cassie today, a most valuable spice, Cassiah, or Cassie, okay? And then the other is Karim Hapak, horn of the eye point. All right? Horn of beauty.
What number are we on, Jim? What number? The verse?
We're just going back. We're in verse number 14, okay?
But what section? 42.
In the 42, chapter 42. All right? Karim Hapak. Okay, horn of the eye point. All right? The horn of beauty is what it means. You know, sometimes the women used to paint their eyes and make their eyes look pretty. She's a beautiful woman without being painted. Okay? This woman is natural beauty. All right? So these are beautiful daughters. Job's daughters are beautiful. The most beautiful daughters in the land. Number 15. Young lady, you want to read that? Are you at number 15?
15? 42:15? Yes. In all the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers.
Oh boy, now these girls get an inheritance from their father. Most of the girls didn't get an inheritance back in those days. But Job gave his daughters inheritance. Alright, he gave his daughters inheritance. Alright. And then it says, after this, Job lived 140 years of Saul's sons and his sons and his grandsons, four generations. After this, Job lived 140 years. After this. Now, when did Job live in history? That's the oldest book we have in the Bible. Some people say that he was contemporary with Abraham. Way back over here. Contemporary with Abraham. Maybe even back over here, right after the flood. We don't really know, but this is as far as we have as the oldest book in the Bible. Why do we have the book of Job? Why do we have the book of Job? You know, we're studying this Bible in the ages. So what? To show the doctrine of suffering. Let's go in the New Testament again. James, the first chapter. James, chapter 1. That's right after the book of Hebrews. Why do we have the book of Job? James 1. James, a bondservant of God. That, by the way, this is Jesus' half-brother. Okay? Bondservant of the God of our Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes who dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider all joy, my brethren, when you what? When you encounter Christ. It says in Greek, many, diverse, various, many colored, all kinds of trials. That's tribulations. Knowing that the testing you afraid produces what? Hypomone is what it says in Greek. That means staying power. It means when the world gets you under the thumb that you just stand right on up there against it. Yes.
And doesn't Job have to be first because there has to be that differences met? I mean, as far as like the devil has to oppose.
Well, God has that, to be, Satan opposes, yeah.
So that has to be the first book, because without that we can't get carry on, right?
Well, the book of Genesis is the first book in the Bible, but Job was written there to show you what in the world is going on in the spiritual world. The book of Job was written so we'll know that Satan, with all his little emissaries and all his little imps and demons and other fallen angels are out there fighting us every day. It's not God fighting us, it's Satan fighting us. And this happens to us. And Job gives you encouragement. Because it happened to him. Knowing that the testing of faith produces spiritual staying power. Spiritual isometrics. And let endurance have its perfect result, mature result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any man lacks wisdom, and actually in Greek it says, since all men lack wisdom, where do you ask? Let him ask of God who gives to all men generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. In the book of Galatians, the fourth chapter, or fifth chapter, Galatians chapter 5, let's go back and look at that again. Galatians 5. We're right there, just where we are, in the book of Galatians, when I'm teaching on Wednesday night. Galatians 5, Dr. John, are you there?
No. You can just find it.
Wait a minute, no, that's not what I want. Galatians 5.
It's a little ways before Revelation.
Find out where I'm supposed to be. Galatians 4. Galatians 4. That's what I'm supposed to be. Latham 4. All right. I still don't have it right.
Good, I still haven't done it.
No. Romans.
Oh, man.
Now, what I said earlier, we're going up there earlier. I've lost my place. But where it said earlier, it says where tribulation builds patience. I cross-referenced to the book of James. Tribulation builds faith. It builds spiritual endurance. Romans 5 is where I was supposed to be. Romans 5. All right, go to Romans. I'll get there in a minute. Romans 5.
5:3?
Uh-huh. 5 and verse 3. Are you there, Sister Andy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance.
All right, knowing this, that tribulation brings about, and keep on going, number.
And perseverance, character, and character of hope.
All right, and number 5?
Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been pouring out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
All right. And it says, for a while we were still helpless. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. It says in Galatians 4 now, where I was supposed to be, it says, for at the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that He might redeem those that were cursed under the law. So we have that. And then in Romans, the 10th chapter, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Let's look at that. Verse 8, where we're going to look in a minute. Now, we contrasted two individuals, two personalities. One was angel, and one was a man. And God blessed Lucifer tremendously, didn't He? He answered to no one but Jehovah Himself. He put him over the highest order, over the material realm in of his universe. He had everything going his way, and yet he went the wrong way, and he started a civil war, a spiritual civil war against God, physical and spiritual. Okay. And then we went to the book of Job, and we find out why God instigated the book of Job, so that we would have encouragement when we have adversities. When we have terrible things, terrible trials happen to us. All right. Now there are different choices. As you look in the Bible, what are you going to do with your freedom, or what are you going to do with your adversaries that you have in this world? Do you have adversaries? Sunshine, do you have adversaries in this world? We all do, don't we? What do you... Do you have them, Sister Antigo? Pam, you have adversaries. You ever run into any adversaries? Hannah, you have adversaries. Fernando? Brett?
No.
You never. You don't have any problems. Oh, well, this is Rick. So if you don't have any problems, this is Brother Norm, you ever have any problems?
Every day.
Every day. Brother David? You can just put your own name in there. God, in His book, you are a written book to people around you. Did you know that? You are a book, like a book of the Bible today. God leaves you in this world to be His witnesses. Ye are my witnesses. He leaves you in the world to be His witness today. When people read your lives, what are they going to say? what happened to Job. Look what happened to Lucifer. Look what happened to Peter. Look what happened to James. Look what happened to John. What's going to happen to Anna? What's going to happen to Fernando? What's going to happen to Brett? We are a book to our people. We are the epistle written to the world. Romans 10. We have a story to tell, don't we? Romans 10. All right? And verse 8. In verse 8, are you there? Who's in Romans 10 and 8? Brother Noah.
But what does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
All right, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Isn't that beautiful? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. It doesn't say you're going to be saved without tribulation. It doesn't say you're going to be saved without trials, does it?
Yes. Maybe sometimes we go through trials because they bring us maturity.
Yes, it brings us maturity.
You're
mature.
Make us strong like Job.
Yeah. Look at that. Just think about that for a while. Our trials come to bring us maturity. Well, there, you got your lesson today. And a little bit of preview. I changed it. Around from what I'm going to preach over there a little bit. But you got the book of Job. We're going to do the book of Job in the Bible in 8 ages anyway. You just got it a little bit early. But how many of you ever really looked at the book of Job like that? Look at Job like that. Who's going to do our prayer thing today? Do we have anything?
I'm going to do a little bit of it. Okay. Someone to prayer over here.
All right. I'm going to have to load everything up and go to the other church now.
What are our announcements?